And if you actually were simulating at the moment a storm condition, a serious storm condition, because that's where we design for.
Offshore wind energy has gone through tremendous developments in recent years. Innovation was a key driver for its success. If offshore wind wants to make a lasting contribution to the energy transition, the sector must continue to innovate. I am David De Jager of GROW, a consortium with a joint research program in offshore wind. In this podcast series, I want to give you an impression of the key research and innovations that will shape the future of offshore wind.
We are here at the Tweede Maasvlakte, really remote part of the Netherlands, with a lot of industry and activities in the harbor of the port of Rotterdam. And I'm standing here with Jeroen de Wert and Jan Kenkhuis. Hi Jeroen.
Good morning.
Hi Jan.
Good morning.
Yeah. And we are standing next to a big yellow structure. I see a big pile in the sand. We are here witnessing a live test. It's not moving that much stuff, but apparently you are doing quite some new innovative research here. But first let me ask you, Jeroen, you are a senior project manager at Blue Water.
Yep.
What is Blue Water? Can you tell a little bit more about that?
Blue Water is one of the technological leading service provider for offshore moorings and for production and transfer of energy. We provide safe and reliable solutions for floating offshore energy. And these solutions more and more are directed towards energy efficient and emission less systems. And these include solutions for renewable energy, such as floating offshore wind, floating solar, and offshore transfer of electricity to charge vessels.
Yeah. And, well, like I said, we are standing to this big yellow structure and a pile. But I don't see anything floating here. So I see a pile in the sand and this big yellow structure. What is the relationship with floating offshore wind turbines, for instance?
The floating structures for to support the turbine need to be moored and connected safely to the seabed. And for that, we use anchor systems such as foundation piles. And it is important to understand in a better way and a more detailed way how the pile reacts in the soil, how the soil-pile interaction behaves, to see if there is the opportunity to reduce cost and reduce the carbon footprint of these foundation piles.
Because there's not much knowledge in that area yet?
Insufficient knowledge, I would say.
Yeah, and that's because of that there is kind of over-design to be on the safe side, and that's what you want. You want to learn more to make it more efficient and cost-effective.
Yeah, indeed.
Can you indeed tell us a little bit more about the layout of this test and how do you think it can help to make offshore wind, a floating offshore wind, more cost-effective?
So indeed, when we learned about the possibility to do testing on these piles, we have been discussing with Port of Rotterdam, and they have been so kind to extend the availability of this site for another few months, the first quarter of this year. And we are now here to test four piles and to gather as much information as we can till the end of this month. And then thereafter, a lot of research and analysis and interpretation work will be done to see how these test results can assist in improving the design, in improving the rules and regulations for these designs in order to reduce the CO2 footprint and cost of foundation piles.
Yeah, because that's indeed the important element, that you want to have data that can help certification bodies to understand what's happening, and so that in the future they will accept your models and your solutions for real big structures.
Yeah, correct.
What I I find quite unique is that we are now in the middle of March of 2023. And Jan, you contacted me December 22. Like, hey, David, I know you have this Grow Consortium and we have a nice opportunity. Could we work together with some of the Grow partners and do this test? You realized this in 3 months' time. What was this unique opportunity?
Actually, the unique was, I saw it in September. Yeah, I was at the Stress Wave Conference in Rotterdam. And I saw these pals, and the Port of Rotterdam was actually doing testing here. And then I thought, wow, I'm here offshore. Yeah, okay, I'm standing on soil, but this is all reclaimed, so this is offshore. And I saw the bottom layers, and that's the Pleistocene sand layers, which I've seen so often while I did offshore site investigations. So I thought, wow, how long are these piles? Yeah, they are in the Pleistocene sand layers. That was, yeah, I was told straight away.
And how long are they? How long are they?
They are 38 meters long, and okay, two are 38 meters long and two are 33 meters long. And that is also, yeah, purposely decided by the Port of Rotterdam, yeah, to have these two different lengths. So once when I was in contact with them, then I said, yeah, but we need these piles and the results for testing, for pulling on the piles instead of compression loading, because offshore the water, yeah, is moving. So we would like to have cyclic loading and we would like to go for tension loading. And fortunately, they gave us this opportunity, yeah, to come here and do this testing program.
Yeah. Looking at this yellow structure, what are we looking at? And can you describe what's happening here? Like I said, I don't see anything moving. It seems like a very static construction.
Yeah.
But in reality, things are happening here, right?
Correct. Actually, what we're doing at the moment is that we induce a cyclic load on this pile. Yeah, and it varies between 300 tons and 600 tons. So actually, the lower bound is about 300 cars. The upper bound is 600 piles. So, and we see on the screen, yeah, on the computers, yeah, that actually how we induce the load and how much deflections there is.
And it's in the vertical direction.
It's in the vertical directions. Yeah, and these wooden, say, we call them ladders. Yeah, you see all kinds of instruments. You see many cables. Yeah, and they are all connected, yeah, to the computer so that we can register all the movements of the pile and that we can also register the loads which we induce.
Yeah. And now you are pulling. And if you pull with these 300 to 600 tons, how much will these piles move up and down?
Okay, actually the movement is in the top of the pile is about 0.5 millimeters, yeah, and then in the bottom of the pile maybe only 0.1, because on every penetration depth we see that the load is getting transferred to the surrounded soil body.
Yeah. And you are censoring that throughout the pile?
We're censoring the piles. In the piles there have been made grooves, and in the grooves there are fiber optics, and actually it comes all more from the medical practice, yeah, that we can use fiber optics, yeah, in this kind of scale. Yeah, they can use it, yeah, within your body, but they can also use it in, say, in these
steel constructions.
Steel, yeah. Constructions.
Yeah. And so, how can you then? You know, if I pull in a cyclic load in this pattern, then I will see how it behaves. Will the pile slowly get out of the soil? Or is it indeed bouncing in the soil?
At the moment when we do cyclic testing, we do not want actually that it moves out. But after these tests, yes, we will pull the pile really 20 centimeters out of the soil, because we really want to see what is really the failure of the soil, because that's what we use in the predictions. Everything is related to this ultimate holding capacity.
Yeah, these I keep referring to these 300 to 600 tons, that they mimic, let's say, the conditions in the sea or in a future of this anchor in a situation. How does that compare? Is that indeed scaled in the right way, or what's power or pressure levels can you expect in real conditions?
Okay, yeah, in the sea, yeah, we are related to the wind, and related to the wind speed, yeah, you have different waves. And if you actually were simulating at the moment a storm condition,
oh, storm,
and
okay,
really a serious storm condition, because that's where we design for. Yeah. Yeah, if it is the normal day, flat seas, yeah, then we have the lower range, so that's not that concerning.
No, so you're really design. You're going to indeed to the extremes here, and if it behaves as expected, do you have a model to predict the behavior of the pile?
Yes, there are all kinds of computer models, and nowadays we're moving more and more into 3D modeling. Yeah, up to, because the computers are getting advanced, and the results of these tests we can use to actually calibrate our computer models. Because we have something, yeah, that we say, okay, we predict this, and but also we have the return back. Yeah, we have predicted it, but was it correct? And yeah, only with this kind of test we can check what we predict.
So you are not doing this alone. You are doing this with several partners. What type of other parties are interested in this project?
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of interest from the industry to join and to participate in this project. Wind developers, contractors, certifiers, research institutes. It's an all array of companies who partner with us in this project, and from all around the world as well. We have partners in America, we've partners in Europe, in Japan. So all around the world, there is a lot of interest in executing these tests and in learning more about the pile behavior in the soil to see how to optimize the foundation pile design.
Yeah, because, we are here in the Netherlands and the Dutch part of the North Sea. You're probably not going to need that much floating technology, except for solar maybe, but at least not the big loads that you will have on big offshore wind turbines. So it's quite understandable that it's an international approach that is important, because the market will be around the globe.
Yes, for sure. There is a lot of wind resource potential in Europe, North Sea, Norway, Scotland, Netherlands as well. But indeed, that's more bottom fixed. But also in Japan, in Portugal, in the Gulf of Mexico, all parties around the world are interested to learn more how to reduce cost and how to bring down the CO2 footprint of these floating offshore wind developments.
But why is it, do you think it's important that there is support for this type of innovations?
Well, first of all, if we want to meet the criteria set by Paris on climate change and to reduce those effects and avoid it, then floating wind is a very viable source of renewable energy. And at the moment, the first developments are now on the table. But there still needs to be done a lot of research work to see how to further improve the cost of those developments, and therefore the viability of these projects.
Do you think that the Netherlands has some expertise or competences that or people like Jan?
Yeah, definitely. We are used to work with sand and water, and there is through the Delft University of Technology as well, and through other companies, there is a lot of expertise and a lot of employment of people in the Netherlands related to renewable energy in general and floating wind in particular. So it's still good that the Dutch government contributes for a small portion in this project to make sure that the Dutch industry continues to be able to provide their expertise, not just for the Dutch continental shelf, but the North Sea and worldwide in general as well.
Yeah, thank you. So in this project was initiated really fast. Jan told that in September he learned basically about opportunity. In December, the first talks started on let's build a consortium and could we do it together with maybe partners of GROW. It's now March, a few months later, and everything is ongoing. I think that's quite an achievement.
It is. It's extremely fast track.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever been done before. When indeed Jan came back from his site visit and came back so enthusiastic about we must do something with this, we picked it up within Bluewater, and we managed within a few months to get a group of partners together, as I previously explained, all around the world and from energy developers to contractors, research institutes, certifiers, and to bring them together and participate in this project.
Jan, what results do you hope to achieve with this project?
Oh, good question. Yeah, that's not really only one thing. You know, we try to achieve many things in one go, because executing these tests, yeah, are quite expensive, so that's why they are not done that often. And because we have here the opportunity, yeah, that what we can do with the results is, first of all, is what does wave impact cause on the anchor point? Yeah, will the soil get stiffer due to the wave action, or will the soil get softer due to the wave action? And of course, we are so worried that it gets softened, meaning that if the pile comes free, then we will see a windmill floating somewhere. And that's
floating
what we
away.
Would like to avoid.
Yeah. And you also aim to improve the design because of better understanding of these mechanisms. You can reduce probably a lot of steel, or I don't know how much steel or how much cost can you, if you better understand these mechanisms, you can save.
Okay, now actually that brings me to how we feel comfortable with what we are doing. Yeah, and how you feel comfortable is that, say, like, if you say, okay, this will be the failure, then you say, okay, do I want to have 1.5? Do I want to have 2 as a factor of safety? If we feel more comfortable, yeah, then we have more courage, yeah, and we are there to say, we can do it with 1.5. Now, if we can design with 1.5, then I'm sure we can save 20 to 25% on the steel just required for the foundation. Yeah. And that will bring a huge benefit, because even with the anchor points, if we're talking about 300, 500 tons for each pile, if we can reduce 20%, that means we save 100 tons on every anchor point.
Yeah.
And that is not only in cost, but also in CO2 footprint.
Yeah, and of course, it's not only you feeling comfortable, but it's also the certification body, and hence investors and banks, etc. The rest of the value chain.
It is the risk analysis. Yeah, if you want to have it bankable, yeah, they definitely look into the risk. Yeah, and so they will come to us and saying, yeah, Baho, you're taking here too much risk. Yeah, we do not accept it, and that's what we also like to prove.
Yeah. Each project comes with, let's say, the high and the low moments. Were there any things that kept you awake at night during this process, Jan?
Okay, in the first... No, actually, when I found the project, then, and I was really happy with it, Blue Water Management directly said, yes, Jan, we're going to do it. Then thereafter was for, okay, but how do we get the funding? So in the first couple of months, it was really finding the money, and we did it in stages. We said, okay, we can do 2 tests, and I was still not happy with it too. I wanted to have them all. But every time, yeah, Jeroen could make me happy, yeah, and we get a few more, one more pile to test. So in the end, we managed to get all 4 piles tested.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, yeah, finding the money, that was, I think, the most toughest part of this project.
Yeah. Jan, how did you end up here at this project? What is your educational background?
My educational background is geotechnics. Yeah, I'm working in geotechnical and actually offshore geotechnical now for 40 years. Yeah, I've been all around the world, all the seas. Yeah, I did site investigations. I did pile monitoring. I did installation work.
And you, Jeroen, what's your background?
My background is offshore engineering from Delft University of Technology.
Yeah. Jan, could you show me what you are actually measuring on the inside in the cabin?
Yes, I can do that. We are in the heart of the testing, yeah, with all the computers, yeah. And what you see here on the screen is that actually in the top left part you see the displacement, yeah, as small cycles on the screen.
Yeah.
Below it you see the largest cycles, and that is actually representative for the loads we are measuring. Then on the right hand side of the screen, yeah, you see also the same cycles coming back. And in the top, you see how much the pile is moving at the top. And at the bottom end, you see only a small ribble. Yeah, and that is the bottom end of the pile.
And how many sensors are there along the pile?
We have 20 of each side.
20 of each side. And this is a new voice for us. So who are you?
I'm Natasha Depot. I work for Buildwise.
And Buildwise is providing this measuring technology.
Yes.
And indeed, so on the screen, it's quite clear that, if I understand it right, on the top you see the big, relatively big changes.
So three one, black one, and the green, dark green. They are like the two sensors, which are like the most of the on the top. And those are the one who moves like a lot because they receive all the loads. And then on the bottom one, yeah, a lot of the load is gone through friction in the ground. So that's why they move less.
Yeah. You see hardly any vibration, let's call it, movement there. All right, and this is all quantified, and then indeed
actually
fed into
we're
the models.
We're simulating the waves. Yeah, we are in about say 6 cycles a minute. Yeah, so then we have a wave period of 10 seconds. Is what we call it, and that's quite common offshore. Yeah, if you go to a much faster speed, then you will get far more degradation. Yeah, so that's why we do this testing at more or less at the same as how the waves are acting on the whole system once when we got the mooring in place.
Well, Jeroen, Jan, well, I wish you all the best the coming weeks. I hope that the weather stays as good as it is today, because then it's quite nice to be here close to the sea. All the best, and I hope to see you again maybe in the next phase of this project.
The research presented in this podcast series is supported by TKI Wind op Zee and the Netherlands Enterprise Agency. Would you like to learn more about this research? Check out the show notes, where you'll find a reference to the Grow to Go web magazine.